Welcome to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. This is your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the relevant issues of our day. Here are your hosts, Christy Johnson and Dr. Paul Dean.
Welcome into True Worldview. Christy, it's been a little while since we've been together. We took a little break for Christmas and New Year's, but I am so glad to get back in the saddle, as it were. How about you?
Yeah, I'm so glad too. Had a good holiday, a good New Year's, good Christmas, good times. It was a little weird being away in California for the holidays. That's a new one.
new for us too. Not that we were there, just it was different being away from one another.
Yeah, but we got together for Thanksgiving, so that's okay, but we had a good time. But I'm excited especially to talk about this topic today. We kind of ended on a little bit of a cliffhanger, I feel like, because I just had so much that I still wanted to talk about on the issue of fighting sin and dealing with heart issues and getting to the root of the problem and changing our thinking to put our thoughts in line with the scriptures. So we're going to continue our conversation today.
Yeah, and I just wanted to sort of pick up on something I was getting at last time as well and never really addressed completely. And, you know, we're going to be practical. How do you deal with things in your heart like anger and anxiety and depression? And we've already waded into that, but we're going to get there a little more specifically. But I just wanted to say that, you know, we get a lot of messages from a lot of different sources on how to deal with those issues. And I think the church has been affected by the world more than it realizes, at least in some instances. And we've been affected by, let's just say, a psychological model in certain areas. And so when people think about depression, for example, or anxiety, a lot of time, you know, they'll sort of appeal to the psychological approach that's therapeutic, you know, and, you know, contemporary psychology and their therapeutic approach has to deal with or has to do with, I don't know, just a catch-all here, non-directive, you know, therapy where you go in and you talk about your problems and the psychologist essentially listens and sort of, excuse me, turns it back to you. Well, how do you feel and what do you think you should do? And usually the psychologist is going to be very affirming no matter what you choose to do. Because again, it's non-directive and it's not rooted in any science really. And it's not rooted in a coherent worldview. Everybody's different. It's sort of rooted in the eclectic natures of the different folk that he's trying to counsel or that she's trying to counsel. And so biblical counseling, when we, you know, disciple others, when we try to help others, we're coming from a completely different approach. We're coming from an approach that's directive. We're giving them directives from the Word of God. Here's what, you know, the Bible says about what you're experiencing, and here's what the Bible says about what you ought to be doing to deal with that, and here's how you get there. So that's what we're going to be talking about. But I wanted to throw that on the table. And the other thing I want to throw on the table, we could talk about other psychological approaches that are popular in America today. We could talk about a spiritist approach, but I don't think most people are into that. Certainly most people in the church are not into that. But one of the models that's taken hold, and everyone's well aware of this, and it may be even more popular than the therapeutic approach, the non-directive approach, is the medical model. And essentially it says that, okay, you've got depression, you've got anxiety, you've got these things going on. Well, obviously you have a chemical imbalance in the brain, and all you need to do is take a little bit of medication and you'll be fine. And of course, what they mean when they say you'll be fine is not that you'll be cured, but that you'll feel better. And of course, that may or may not be the case. We know that folk don't always feel better. In fact, most of the time they don't. And we know that psychotropic medication in many, many cases, more than the medical arena and other folk want to admit, but in many cases, at least to suicide and things of that nature, increased depression. And I just wanted to say, because I was talking about this last time, Christy, that there's no real scientific evidence that people suffer from chemical imbalances in the brain. But even if they do, maybe we'll figure that out one day, actually scientifically, excuse me. But we do know that we suffer from, you know, hormonal imbalances. And, you know, if a person has diabetes, the sugar and the insulin are all out of whack, and that can exacerbate, you know, mood swings or things like that. And really what it's doing is exacerbating things that are already there in your heart. And what we're saying is that God is the one who enables us to overcome sin in our hearts. If the sin weren't already in our hearts, you know, like if you're a diabetic and you're prone to become more angry, let's say, than you were, well, it's not because of the diabetes. It's just the condition going on is creating a little added tension, but that anger is already in your heart, and it's just easier to come out now. You know, it's like that barking dog outside your window makes that anger come out, or the diabetes makes that anger come out. And what we're saying is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome those things, whether it's a hormonal issue or even whether it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than you. That's the whole point. And I don't want to ramble here. I'm laboring to get to my ultimate point, Christy. But people question that. And I just want to say, you need to trust the Lord. You need to understand the sufficiency of Scripture. We have everything we need, Peter tells us, for life and godliness in the Scriptures. Paul tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God, breathed out by God, and profitable for, you know, reproof and instruction and reproof, instruction and correction and, you know, instruction in righteousness and all those things. And it says this, Christy, so that the man of God or even the woman of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not some good works, but every good work. And the last thing I want to say, and I've taken way too long, forgive me. Those things, let's just use the term chemical imbalance, even though we have no real evidence for that. But let's just say there is such a thing as that. Those things are different than, say, like a brain injury. Or a physiological condition. You know, what we're saying is that there are physiological conditions and there are spiritual conditions. There's no third category of psychological conditions. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. In fact, the word psychology is an English word that we get from two Greek words, study of the soul, psuche, logos, word about the soul. And who better to deal with the soul than God, right? So you've either got spiritual problems you need to work on, and you can by the power of the Holy Spirit through the renewing of your mind, the Word of God, or you've got a physiological issue like you've been hit in the head with a baseball bat, you've been in a car wreck, and you've got a brain injury, or you've got something like, you know, autism or, you know, some sort of birth defect. You understand what I'm trying to say. Those are different issues. If you've got, you know, a brain problem, that's not a spiritual problem. That's a brain problem. That's a different dynamic altogether.
Right. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And I want to also emphasize that we're not here to give you medical advice because neither of us are doctors.
Sure.
But we are here to talk about what the Word of God says about our souls, as you mentioned, about our spiritual condition and about our thoughts. And about what we can do to combat bad feelings or sinful thoughts or things like that. And by God's grace, through the Holy Spirit, we're here to tell you that God gives us the tools that we need to be able to change our thinking and to change our feelings. I mentioned something in the last episode about how sometimes I will lie awake at night and I'll think about earthquakes. And I think that it could be easier to just say, well, not really easier, it'd be worse for me in the long run, but it could be easy or make sense to say that, well, these thoughts just happen to me and there's nothing that I can do to control them. And I just can't sleep because I just get all these thoughts. Like, what if there's an earthquake? What if it's a really big one? What am I going to do? What if I'm not prepared? What if our house falls over? Where are we going to go if there's an earthquake? What, you know, all the down and down the line I can go and just get to irrational, stressful, not good thoughts that I need to be working on. And I could just say, I just can't do anything about these thoughts. They just come into my head. They just pop into my head and I can't do anything about it. But the truth is, it is my responsibility to stop those thoughts and to actively choose to think about something else. As we mentioned, you have to put off the sinful thought pattern, the worry, the anxiety, and put on the good biblical thought patterns of peace. And that means not being passive. I think so many times when I encounter problems in my own life, I tend to think that sometimes my faith is passive, where if I just pray enough, or just because I'm a Christian or whatever, that God will just magically make me a better person. But that's not how it happens. It's active. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do need to pray, yes, but I also need to be praying the right prayers. And I need to not just be praying, I also need to be fighting sin and doing the work that God asks me to do. So it's an actual, I think of it for me, because I like to journal and things like that, I think of it as an actual physical thing that I do. I have to go and journal and write out my thoughts and think, this is what I'm doing that's sinful, and then write out this is what I need to be doing that is good, and what God says to do, and yes, through the power of the Holy Spirit, pray, God, here's what I'm taking, here's what I need you to take away, here's what I'm putting off, and please help me to put this on. And then I have to go and walk in faith, and actively, when I have thoughts of anxiety, like earthquakes, I need to say, no, I'm not thinking about this, and I need to think about something else, like recite a Bible verse, or think about how God gives us peace, or even if it's just, go think about something else that is not, related to earthquakes, think about something else. Sometimes I just need to get my mind off of that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that so often we don't really think about, we talk about spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle we find ourselves in. We don't really realize the primary battlefield there is the mind. We talk about our hearts, but it's not the physical, heart in the middle of our chest. It's our minds that we're talking about, and that's what the scripture is talking about when it talks about your heart. And, I'm just going to repeat what you said, but in a different way. Our thoughts will run away. We'll let our thoughts run away from us, but we have to catch them. We have to stop it, And we actually have that ability mentally. We have that ability spiritually. And Paul tells us, for example, to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. And those verses wouldn't be in there if those weren't real, admonitions for us. And it ought to be a real encouragement to us that we can do that. But I think we have to realize what you were saying. Paul gives us, and I just use this term, he gives us this little formula over and over and over again throughout the New Testament in many different ways. But it's, as you were saying, you have to put off your sinful thought patterns, but that's not enough. You have to replace them with biblical thought patterns. So it's not an either or, a both and. But the question is, well, how do you do that? Well, it's through the renewing of your mind. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means you have to be in the Word. And the more you saturate your mind with the Word of God, and the more you go to the Word of God when you are plagued with unbiblical thoughts, whatever they might be, well, then the better able you are to fight. And that's exactly what we're talking about. It's not an easy thing. It's not take two Bible verses and call me in the morning kind of thing. It literally is a fight. And, sometimes the struggle is over very quickly. Sometimes it's long term. But you will get to a point where the fight does get easier. But when you're in the middle of that battle, Christy, I mean, battles are not easy, right? Some last a long time, some don't. But even the ones that last a long time, you will ultimately get relieved. And what you have to do is persevere. And that's what all those verses in the Bible are about. And I think so often we don't realize the practicality of the scriptures. We just think it's a book of religious sayings and things like that, at least a lot of people. But it's telling us what to do. And if we'll take God seriously and understand what he's saying, well, then we'll have the tools that we need, the weaponry that we need to fight that battle.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to fight. And the Bible is full of language about spiritual warfare. And I have a few passages that I want to read. One of them is pretty lengthy, so please bear with me. But before I get into that, I want to share another example just to, as we wade into the scripture passages. I was recently watching a YouTube video where they were interviewing different Christians about their beliefs. And because the LGBTQ plus movement is at the top of our culture's mindset, obviously they had a couple questions about that to ask these Christians. And they had people on both sides of the spectrum, and one of the persons that they interviewed said that homosexual desire and homosexual activity is against nature and it's sin and God tells us to fight it. And then another person, a young lady who identifies as queer, said that she, in response to what this other man had been saying, she said, well, think about what you're asking someone who is homosexual to do. Think about what you're asking them. That's like their whole thought, like all of their thoughts every day. You're asking them to change who they are and to change their thoughts every second of every day. You know, if I'm attracted to a female, and that's just what I'm attracted to, then you're asking me to say, oh, I can't do this. I can't think that. I can't do this every second of every day. And I kind of wanted to yell at my computer screen and say, yes, that is what God asks us to do about all sin issues, not just about homosexuality, but about everything, about anxiety, about gossip, about anger, and about all that. God wants us to fight. And sometimes, especially when we're in a place in our lives where we're having a hard time in our faith, sometimes that is literally every second of every day we have to renew our minds. And I think a lot of us are lazy. We don't want to do that. We think our faith should be passive. We think that prayer is enough. We think, God, I've prayed for you to take my lust away time and time again. Why do I still struggle? Well, God, I've prayed for you to make me happy. Why can't I catch a break? Etc. But the Bible really is clear. It gives us hope, and it talks about how we have to fight. So I'm going to go to a passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In this passage, they've just been talking about false teachers, about being puffed up, about these false teachers being puffed up and craving controversy. Then he talks about greed and the love of money and how we need to be content with what we have. So he's talking about all kinds of life issues. But then he says this. But as in verse 11, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. This is offensive language. It's active. It's not passive. We don't just sit there and say, well, this is just what I think. And of course, God doesn't expect me to take hold of my thoughts. We have to be active. And I know I'm stealing the microphone. I'm hogging the mic.
No, keep going.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then he goes on to talk about taking up the armor of God, which is a passage that we all know. So we see from scripture that we can take every thought captive, that God gives us the tools through the armor of God. You mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And I think that's the key. We take our thoughts captive, every thought, and we make them obedient to Christ. Our natural bodies, our natural fleshly selves are not naturally obedient to Christ. We have to fight and make them obedient to Christ. So then that leads us to the question, how do we do that? And you talked about that a little bit. Renew your mind, be in the Word, pray constantly, and do the work to get to the heart of the problem.
Yeah, that's right. And I appreciate all of that so much. And there's a sense in which we could just stop it there. I just wanted to say in our culture, I think folk kind of put the homosexual thing in a different category. But, you know, Christians and people in general have been doing that with other things. It's just sort of the sin of the day or the attitude of the day. Like, people want to say, well, you know, I can't help the fact that I'm an angry person. And a lot of folk, even in the church, have not necessarily considered anger, you know, sin. Well, it's just an emotion, and that's just my personality. Well, no, the Bible says it's sin. And we're all born dead in sin. And we're all told to repent of that sin and to overcome that sin and mortify, you know, put to death the deeds of the flesh. And, you know, homosexuality is no different. I mean, the guy that looks at pornography, we tell him, you got to quit doing that. Mm-hmm. And he wants to do it every day. Well, is he supposed to stop doing it? What if he is born? He just has an attraction to, you know, looking at pornography, whatever it might be. And you mm-hmm. say, yes, you have to put that off because it's sin and God gives you the power to do it. You're to live for his glory. And so feelings of anger, feelings of pride and feelings of selfishness and feelings of lust, and your lust can be heterosexual. Your lust can be homosexual, but you've got to put it off. That's what the Bible says. And you know, I love that text that you actually quoted, Christy, at length, the one about taking every thought captive. Paul essentially says there that these thoughts that we have that are contrary to the scriptures, they're lofty thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. I mean, think about that term. Like, how did it go exactly? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, right? Raised against the knowledge of God. Is that what it says? I mean, that word lofty refers to pride. You know, we destroy arguments and we cast down every human prideful opinion that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And when homosexuals say, well, you're asking me to change the way that I feel, I'm attracted to the person of the same sex. Well, I'm sorry, but you have a lofty opinion, a prideful opinion that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't, when I look at someone face to face, I'm not, you know, being so harsh that I don't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. If you understand what I'm trying to say, but this is true of all of us. I mean, I have so many lofty opinions that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. I need to take those thoughts captive in obedience to Christ. And we can do that if we're willing to fight, if we're willing to pray, if we're willing to renew our minds. And, you know, we quoted that text a little bit ago. All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. You know, maybe we just need to deal with things that way. You know, what does the scripture say about this thought or this attitude or this action? And how have I failed in this area? And then what does God want me to do about it, and how do I get there? Things like that. We have to begin to think things through. I go back and I just repeat myself. It really is a battle, and you have to learn how to fight.
Yeah, and you have to be, as we said again and again, you have to be willing and ready to renew your mind daily. That means actually taking time to get into the Word. That means taking time to pray. To not just, you know, read a couple verses and call it good. I think that, yes, you can have an in-depth Bible study time on a couple of verses. Yes. But what God calls us to is to take the time to go in depth. And if we're not reading our Bibles every day. I mean, how much more time do we spend on our phone scrolling on social media than reading and studying the Bible? That's probably why we struggle with so many, you know, issues, not just that, but because we're not willing to take the time to renew our minds. So we have to pray and we have to do the work to get to the heart of the problem, the actual practical work. And that's what my chart that I gave last week is meant to do for us, for you, is to give you a starting point for doing actual work to get to the heart of the problem. I don't want to spend too much time on it again since I already talked about it. But check out the description of this podcast and our website, trueworldview.net. I will link to this chart and take the time to identify your affections. That's letter A, your feelings. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, anxious, angry, hopeless, upset. Maybe you're feeling unbeautiful. Maybe you're feeling ugly. Maybe you're feeling scared or stressed or worried or guilty or ungrateful. Identify that. Write that down. And then identify the behaviors that where you're not honoring God. Maybe you're being irritable or lazy or crying. I don't think crying is always bad, but I know for me sometimes I have like excessive crying, and that's a behavior that is a symptom of a root cause. You know, I shouldn't just be crying over the silliest things. If I'm at an emotional breaking point, I need to realize what is the root of in my heart that's causing me to just burst into tears or whatever. Maybe you're being unkind or swearing or giving people the silent treatment or manipulating or blame shifting. And these are like harsh, like we don't want to think of ourselves as these kind of people, but the heart is ugly. The heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. And I think a lot of times we just don't, I know for me, a lot of times I just don't want to do the work. I don't want to see what's in my heart because I'm afraid of it, because it's scary. But we have to do this if we want peace and joy and if we want to honor God. So identify your thoughts that you're thinking, you know, how could she do this to me? I'm worthless. What are we going to do? What if we lose money? I'm ugly. You know, he's not doing this or whatever. She's not doing this. Blame shifting, you know, things like that. And then identify what are you actually desiring in your heart based upon those feelings, thoughts, and behaviors. Maybe you want control. Maybe you want money. Maybe you just want comfort. Maybe you want praise or attention, or maybe you want your life to be perfect. And then once you identify those, then take the time to say, what does God say instead of this? So I encourage you, instead of this, what does God want? What should be my desire? Maybe it should be God's will, God's glory, peace, worship, praising God, joy, contentment, you know, all these things. So I give this chart just as like a starting point to actually do the work to get to the heart of the problem and deal with heart issues. You can also go to randallhousegreer.com. And go to the church website. There are some biblical counseling resources that we have there. There's some worksheets that you can go through if you're dealing with other issues. Or send us an email and we can point you, you know, to some other resources, something like that. I've got homework sheets that I do in my own personal quiet time when I'm dealing with issues. And we've got homework sheets that I know you have given to counselees in counseling. And so, you know, if you're struggling with any of this and you want help, reach out to us. Let us know. And we'd love to help you out. So, woo, I just talked a whole lot. I'm going to pass it back to you to close this out.
No, that's all right. You've said it all. And we'll talk about these issues again in different contexts on future broadcasts. But that's our desire to help others. And we want to be helpful in other areas. So we'll talk about something else next time on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.